Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Fast to my 5 o'clock, Thursday the 2nd of April. Thanks very much to Alex Brindley for the past couple of hours. I'm Christian Jones and welcome along to Update. 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, the president of Tynwald is set to stand down after announcing his political retirement. We've been out in Russian finding out what matters most to voters as the election draws closer. And one of your latest TT debutantes talks ahead of his maiden appearance. All those stories and more, as always, drop me a message if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166 177 or email me at studio@manxradio.com. But first, as always, let's get the latest news headlines with Darren Timpson. Fast am I, Darren.
Fast am I. The president of Tynwald has announced he'll retire from politics later this year. Lawrence Skelly has confirmed he won't be seeking re-election when his term in office expires in July. The cost of housing and the availability of graduate-level jobs were just two of the concerns raised by students contemplating a life and career on the Isle of Man. However, Douglas Central MHK Ann Corlett, political member for Locate Isle of Man, recently said university students are the right people government wants as residents.
Absolutely it is. It's about young professionals, people who perhaps will stay and start a family on the Isle of Man. That is exactly what we're looking for here.
Manx Care says it's aware of residents experiencing difficulties when booking GP appointments in the south of the island. Patients have recently contacted Manx Radio to highlight the challenges they'd face booking an appointment at Southern Group Practice. To international news, some of the families of people denied a proper burial by a funeral director in Hull are calling for a public inquiry into how it could happen. Robert Bush, who's 48, has pleaded guilty to preventing 30 burials at his funeral home and to stealing money intended for charity. The BBC's outgoing director general has admitted there's a lot of shock among staff over sacking of Scott Mills. Tim Davies been discussing it in an internal staff call, which has been seen by Sky News. And police in Scotland are urging extreme caution this weekend, especially for lorry drivers as Storm Dave's approaching. It brings a yellow weather warning for wind for the whole nation. Those are the headlines. News next at 6.
Darren, thank you very much. Gurumayad, let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Cloudy with rain arriving this evening as moderate southerly breezes strengthen, rain becoming patchier overnight as the wind gradually veers westerly and eases towards dawn, minimum temperature of 6 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, though, cloudy start to the day with a few scattered showers, those becoming more isolated throughout the afternoon. Some sunshine breaking through, though, towards the evening, top temperature of 10 degrees Celsius.
If you're looking for supply-only double or triple glazed units, make sure you visit the Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom on the Stugbra Trading Estate or call 674-573. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
3 minutes past five on Manx Radio's update. Well, the president of Tynwald has announced he'll be retiring from political office later this year. Lawrence Skelly has confirmed he won't be seeking re-election when his term in office expires in July. Lewis Foster has this report.
Lawrence David Skelly, 2021, and Duan Paul Watson, 3080.
Lawrence Skelly, the new kid on the block, how do you feel?
Well, I guess as a new politician, I think I'm lost for words, to be honest with you.
That's how Lawrence Skelly's political life started back in 2011, becoming MHK for Russian, a role he'd keep hold of over two administrations. Over the course of those 10 years as a member of the House of Keys, seven he spent as a minister, notably as Minister for Enterprise, overseeing the COVID support packages offered to businesses throughout the pandemic, chairing the Economic Recovery Group alongside Chief Minister Alfred Cannon. Then in April 2021, he announced he would not be seeking re-election, instead putting himself forward for the role of President of Tynwald.
We now turn to item one, election of President.
Thank you, Mr. Acting President. I rise to propose Mr. Speaker, Duan Watterson, for the presidency of Tynwald.
I wish to second the nomination of Mr. Speaker.
I would like to propose the Honourable Member for Rushen, Mr. Skelly, for the position of President of Tynwald.
I wish to second the nomination of Mr. Skelly.
Thank you, Honourable Members. The ballot reveals that the number of votes for Mr. Skelly is 20, the number of votes for Mr. Watterson is 12. And accordingly, I declare that Mr. Lawrence Skelly has been elected President of Tynwald to hold office until the day of the first ordinary sitting of Tynwald in July 2021.
And now here we are, 5 years and countless Gwrywmaid Ectorenns later, and Mr. Skelly says he's calling time on his Manx political career. He's been telling me why.
Well, it just seems the right time, I think, for me to step down at this particular juncture. And having, I guess, been in public office now for 15 years, I never really set out to be a career politician. So this just seemed the right time. It's been a great honour and privilege, obviously, I think, to serve the people of the Isle of Man and Rushen in particular as their constituents for 10 years. But this just seems about the right time to make that step down.
How have you found the last 5 years? Did they live up to the expectations that you had at the time, or have new challenges appeared that you weren't aware of or weren't expecting?
Well, making that transition took a bit of time, in fairness. And the timing, I think, the way the election occurs as the last sitting of Tynwald before a general election for MHKs is the right time. But it is an adjustment. It's a different role, different responsibilities, and you really have to ensure that you remove yourself from those policy areas and decision making and act impartial at all times. And as I say, of course, you have your own personal opinions and so forth. Some will be on record, etc. But you must ensure that you maintain that impartiality. That's very, very important going forward. So yes, it was an adjustment initially, once you're sort of in the swing of it, it is, you know, literally week to week, and there's always a lot of issues that go on, and many of them don't necessarily always come on the floor of Tynwald or in Ledgecore, or even House of Keys for that matter.
You have indicated that this is your retirement from political office. You'll remain active in Ireland life. Can we take it from that you're not stepping away from the presidency in order to seek re-election as an MHK in Rushen?
Thank you I'm more than happy to clarify that. I won't be standing for MHK. That is correct.
The election of the next president of Tynwald will take place on the 21st of July.
Lewis Foster there with that report. And Lewis is now in the studio with me because it's not the only retirement that we've heard about today, and also not the only one from the Legislative Council.
Yes, Christian, that's right. So the Isle of Man's Attorney General has also announced his intention to retire towards the end of this year. Our Attorney General is, of course, Walter Wannenberg, KC, who's been in the post since 2022, following John Quinn, QC, who died after a short illness.
Just remind us who Mr. Wannenberg actually is.
So for anyone who doesn't know, the role of His Majesty's Attorney General in the Isle of Man is to act as the legal advisor to the Lieutenant Governor, the Council of Ministers, government departments and statutory boards. They oversee the Attorney General's chambers, conducting all public prosecutions and providing counsel on legal issues, public policy and international matters. And before 2022, Mr. Wannenberg was the island's Solicitor General, which likewise is a senior role within the chambers, and it's a role he'd been in since 2015. On this announcement today, government says it marks the end of a long career providing expertise and counsel. And Mr. Wannenberg has said he's enormously grateful for his time as Attorney General, but he feels after nearly 11 years serving as a Crown officer, the time is ripe for renewal. And with the general election looming, it seems an appropriate opportunity to hand the baton to another. The Chief Minister has also thanked Mr. Wannenberg on behalf of the Council of Ministers for his dedicated service. Alfred Cannon says throughout his tenure in these positions, the Council of Ministers has greatly valued his support, together with the frank and considered advice he's provided on a wide range of matters of importance to the Isle of Man. His professionalism, integrity, and commitment to public service have been greatly valued, he says, and his contribution of real benefit to the work of government.
So, with all that in mind, do we know what happens next?
So at this stage, we haven't been given an exact date for when Mr. Wonenberg will retire. All we've been told is that it will be towards the end of this year. In the meantime, though, the Isle of Man government says it intends to start the recruitment process for the island's next Attorney General imminently, and it will take place on and off island throughout this month and next.
Lewis, thank you very much for that. Right now, residents in the south say a lack of parking, the state of the roads, and the time it takes for a GP or dentist appointment will be some of the issues on their minds at the next general election later this year. Also, of course, a new Castle Rushen High School. Ahead of the general election in September, Manx Radio has been visiting each constituency across the island. Chanel Suku this week has been to Port Erin.
I will be voting. I think it's necessary to have democracy. I would like to see a speeding up of the new Castle Rushen School. I think it's been absolutely appalling, the amount of time, and quite frankly, I'm very disappointed with our existing representatives that it has taken so much time. Also, the roads in Port Erin are pretty potholed, to put it bluntly. So I would look for an improvement there.
I think it's important that people have their say in what's going on. They've got to decide. Health, seeing the doctors, and also seeing dentists, because we are short of both, and it's a worry for the whole community.
If the 20 mile an hour limits on cars in this bit is still low, I'd like to see it change back to 30.
We definitely struggle on Church Road with parking and signage to this side of the village. The other side, Station Road, get a lot of customers. People tend to think our businesses are the backs of the other businesses, so we could really use some extra signage. More available parking would be brilliant, because we have a lot of trade vans everywhere. There's works going on in many different businesses, so a lot of our parking spaces are taken up with work vans. That's a big issue. And that makes access for disabled people, elderly people, and people with young children can't park, which is going to put them off coming down, which then affects all the businesses in Port Erin.
I know a few months ago the DOI introduced the 8S service, which was connecting Peel to the south. Have you noticed how more people using it?
Honestly, I've not noticed, to be honest. I quite often go up the Sound, which is where it ends, and I go up there on a Wednesday. The bus is always empty when they get up there. But I do think that will change coach parties will start this month. That's going to have a massive effect. And I do think it will help, because it's easier access for tourists. They don't want to hop on and off if they don't know where they're going. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll see a positive change with that.
Well, that's Chanel Suku in Port Erin speaking to some of the residents ahead of the general election on their top issues. Well, do you live in the south? Do you agree with those? Are there other issues on your mind? Text WhatsApp to 166 177.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
How the Isle of Man attracts and retains young people was the question on the minds of many at a graduate fair held in Douglas this week. Hundreds attended the event at the Villa Marina Royal Hall on Wednesday, where more than 50 employers were showcasing what the island had to offer in terms of a career. Douglas Central MHK Anne Corlett, also the political member for Locate Isle of Man, and students Rachel and Heather have been speaking to Lewis Foster.
This is for young people, school leavers, graduates, apprentices, all young people actually, to come and see what's available, what their opportunities are for staying here on the island or returning to the island. It's trying to, retain people, really, young people.
We heard Paul Crane recently saying about the population challenges that we've got. Those in their early 20s especially seem to be going off island. There's a lot attracting them over to the UK. So what can we offer? What can the Isle of Man offer to keep them here?
Well, I think that's on display today, really. And this is not everything. This is a portion of what the offer of the Isle of Man is. It's also about, we've got lots of students come over from UK universities today to have a look at the Isle of Man and what opportunities there are to bring them here to join us on the Isle of Man.
You did recently say we need to look at attracting the right people to the Isle of Man. Does that fall under that bracket, looking at university graduates?
Absolutely it is. It's about young professionals, people who perhaps will stay and start a family on the Isle of Man. That is exactly what we're looking for here.
The housing, not so much.
me and my boyfriend have been together nearly 2 years and we're trying to look, and it's so expensive. And for me, trying to get a job, there's no graduate jobs either, so I'll be getting an entry level job. So the money from that is not, I don't think it works very well.
And what about yourself? What are you thinking about that kind of thing yet?
I've not really had as much of a thought about that just yet. I think if I was to come home, I'd be living with my parents. But yeah, the housing market definitely is a worry for me. And I think also, like you said, the social side of things. I have a lovely set of friends and a lovely set of family. But it does worry me that when I'm away at university, I try to make the most of every single event that's local to me, or local clubs, local sports. And as much as I think there's some people doing some really great things over here, and you know, putting a lot of time and effort into building those things, it does concern me that there's not as many opportunities I could be making the most of if I was in the UK.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, let's take a look on the roads to begin with. In Douglas, there are temporary lights on Groves Road near the power station for bus stop improvement works. In Cuaig, temporary lights at the bottom of Cuaig Hill near the railway bridge. Over in Braddon, temporary lights on Braddon Road, of course, just up from Braddon Bridge. Over in Ramsey on Lazare Road, that's closed between Bertram Avenue and Parliament Square for gas main replacement work. And in Castletown, of course, temporary lights on Douglas Road between King William's College and the airport for water main works. No issues down at the steam packet, so we'll take a trip over to the airport. A few things to be aware of. On the arrivals board, the 440 Aer Lingus from Dublin delayed until 6 o'clock. The 530 Loganair from Manchester, that's delayed until 5 to 6. And the 620 EasyJet from London Gatwick, that's delayed until 7:30. On the departures board, of course, the 520 Aer Lingus back to Dublin, that's delayed until around about 6:30. And the 650 EasyJet back to London Gatwick, that's not going to be getting onto the runway until at least 8:10.
For the latest wheel alignment which saves tyre wear, Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Get more with Quayside, Quayside, 664417. Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate. Quayside! You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
17 minutes past five. Now, Gough Commissioners has agreed to hold a drop-in session ahead of the second round of hearings into the Morvannin offshore wind farm. The local authority says it believes it's important residents have the opportunity to look at the plans, read the documents and make submissions ahead of the hearings. Also on its agenda was an update from the Northern Civic Amenity site following a meeting held on Monday with Northern MHKs and the local authorities. Our local democracy reporter Emma Draper has more details.
The local authority had a talk from two people involved in the No Offshore Turbines for Isle of Man group. Gina and Ian told the board they had started a campaign and were currently in the process of getting posters and flyers designed to be able to hand out to residents across the east of the island. The pair said they had a number of exchanges with MHKs and ministers over the proposals and were disappointed that several of them were unable to share their views due to Timwald orders. Gina told the board that the group is hoping to arrange a pick-up point for posters and flyers to allow people to share them around their communities. The board agreed that a drop-in session and mail drop would be needed to inform residents about the plans, the hearing and what next steps they can take. A provisional date has been set for Saturday the 9th of May at the Laxey Working Men's Institute from 4pm to 7pm. Also on the agenda was an update on the situation with the Northern Civic Amenity site. Commissioner Jamie Smith said two options were presented by the Infrastructure Minister Tim Crookle and Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper. Either a formal board is created or the controversial Clause 5 is introduced into legislation. Currently, the site is operated by a joint committee, which is classed as informal and is not covered by a Timwald resolution. A board would provide the amenity site with that protection. Mr. Smith also said that contributions are higher than budgeted for and Macleod's has gone up from £36,000 to £44,000. He added that the Chief Minister was in attendance, who said the cost of operations could rise to £800,000 from a previous expected figure of £700,000. It was also confirmed that Ramsey were operating the site on a shoestring budget, and the new contractor will have three members of staff on site and has plans to open the reuse shed. Commissioner Smith told the board the contract is for 3 years and has a six-month rolling exit clause. DOI political member Kirsty Morfitt had asked for concerns to be raised to her, and the board agreed to raise the increased cost and removing the voting power of the DOI but keeping their attendance at meetings. Garth commissioners will next meet on Wednesday, the 6th of May.
That was local Democracy reporter Emma Draper with the details from last night's Garth commissioners meeting. Now, a special film screening in Peel hopes to highlight how restoring our forests could revive our oceans. No Seas, No Trees is what it's called. It's a campaign to explain why tree restoration is critical for climate and nature recovery. Carl Rowlandson is the co-founder of Plant One Cornwall and is behind the project. He says we have a prime opportunity to do more here on the Isle of Man.
It's kind of amazing how these two, what we kind of have always thought to be two distinct and separate ecosystems, actually there is this kind of really entwined relationship that's happening, and the research is absolutely fascinating. There's some great work going on in countries like Canada and Japan who have this intrinsic link and this intrinsic understanding with the forest and the ocean, but very little happening here. We're a forested island, and that's quite a rare ecosystem. It's quite a rare habitat, but we remove those trees. And what the research is telling us, and the research being done by Dr. Ben Phillips, Dr. Ian Hendy, Sam Manning of the Woodland Trust, Dr. Lisa Beatty, is that actually the woodlands work to support the ocean, and then the ocean works to support the forest as well, and we can certainly dive into the mechanics behind that as well.
Is this the first time that this really strong link has been discovered?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly in the UK that we know of. I mean, and this is where this kind of whole idea came from. Sam Manning went on a research trip to Canada and saw the work that was happening out by the First Nations there, and they truly understood that link, that if you were going to restore the ecosystems of coastal regions, you had to start with the forest. Because if you didn't repair the forest, if you didn't restore the forest, we're always on the back foot. And then Japan has these things called Uwatsuki forests, which translates as fish forests. They understand the link between fisheries and forests so much so that within their important fish nurseries, they have designated area of 60 to 70% woodland cover. And those are like akin to our kind of SSSI kind of designations. These are areas of forested land that has to have a certain woodland cover that supports their fish nurseries. And there's a, you know, we talk about it in the film, but there's this Japanese proverb, to catch a fish, plant a tree. So it just shows how embedded in their culture this connection between forests and oceans really are.
Carl Rowlandson, the co-founder of Plant One Cornwall. That screening and talk with Carl are on the 14th of April at Peel Centenary Centre. Right, sport up next.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
OK, let's turn our attention to sport. One of the latest debutants to take on the TT races this year says his maiden appearance will be all about enjoyment and steady progress. 20-year-old Reece Stevenson will compete in the sport bike class at the 2026 Racing Fortnight, having impressed in the Pirelli National Sport Bike Championship in the UK over the last 2 years. Well, speaking with Beth Espy on the Startline podcast, the rider from Lincolnshire says he'll go into this summer with no pressure on his shoulders.
I just want to go down Brayhill every lap with a massive smile on my face. You know, that's what it's about for me. That's what the whole ethos of racing motorcycles is about. For me, the times will come in 5-6 years when I know the circuit intimately and feel confident to push on. But for the most part at the moment, it's just to have that big smile on my face.
Been out with Milky, I know you've been working with John Barton as well. What sort of learner are you when it comes to getting the track under your skin?
I'm definitely a doer. I'd much rather be doing it than either reading or watching about it. So I've been at home watching a lot of onboards, but then a lot on the game as well. I've done hundreds of laps on the game. It's not quite the same, it's never going to be quite the same, but it is an amazing platform to learn the circuit. And then to come here, I can put that all in practice, you know, when I'm here for real, and hopefully it'll all slip together.
Have you been over and watched the TT before?
Never.
Oh, really?
Never, no.
Oh, flipping heck.
I'm not even going to get to watch it before I do my first newcomer's lap. So I'm heading out, being chucked straight in the deep end. So I think it's going to be a great experience at the end of it, actually finally getting to watch it.
This is something else that I suppose is going to be slightly different compared to what you've done before, is, you know, going out for those first few laps, particularly when you're on your own, Reece, and sort of, you know, in that qualifying session, coming back and sort of downloading all the information that will be buzzing through your head, because it's an awful lot to take in.
Yeah, somewhere. somewhere like Donington Park, where you've got 10, 15, 20 corners maximum, you've not got that much information to process through and write down. Whereas for me, my first laps are just pretty much going to be survive. There's going to be so much information passing through from the feeling in my feet, my hands, my bum. I've just got to try and take as much in as possible, but take in the most important bits.
20-year-old Rhys Stevenson speaking to the Startline podcast. We'll stay with sport, brought to you by The Print Shed. Rob Pritchard joins me now. Fast Am I, Rob? What's the latest?
Fast Am I? Well, looking ahead to the Easter weekend, and there's a busy schedule of sport on Ireland on the cards. First of all, in football, we have a doubleheader of cup finals on the agenda on the Isle of Man. Tomorrow sees the GH Corlett Woods Cup final take place at the Bowl in Douglas, with Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys to take on Moraine. Both sides come into this showdown on the back of wins in Ardern and Drugg Unlimited Division 2 last weekend. Tomorrow's final is due to kick off at 2 p.m. A day later, on Easter Saturday, football action returns to the Bowl for this year's ECAP FA Cup final between St Mary's and Corinthians. The two sides have only met once so far this campaign, with Corinthians, the current Premier League leaders, taking a narrow 1-0 win over St Mary's back in October. Saturday's final will get underway slightly earlier at 1 p.m. Elsewhere, we've got two major events on the Isle of Man Athletics calendar coming up. First, tomorrow is day one of the 2026 Easter Festival of Running, with nearly 800 signed up to take part in all or part of the three-day series. Good Friday's opening race, the Port Erin 10K, will start from 6:45 p.m. tomorrow evening. Meanwhile, the grueling Manx Mountain Marathon and Half Marathon will take place on Easter Saturday. The full marathon will start in Ramsey at 8 a.m. on the day and finish at Bradder Glen in Port Erin. The Half Marathon has the same finishing point but starts in St John's at the later time of 1 p.m. Organisers of those races have warned they are monitoring the forecast poor weather on the day. They add, if there are any changes to the schedule or route, a decision will be made by tomorrow and details will be passed on to participants. And finally, the traditional end to the Isle of Man hockey season will take place across 2 days later this month. The Manx Hockey Association's confirmed the 2026 Cup Finals weekend will be held across Friday the 23rd of April and Saturday the 24th of April at the NSC in Douglas. On the evening of day one, there'll be a doubleheader, which involves the finals of both the Ladies' Bowl and Ladies' Cup, and then the remaining four final showdowns, the Ladies' Plate, Men's Bowl, Men's Cup and Men's Plate, will all be held the following day.
Good reminder, thank you very much for that, Rob. Well, that is it for our update this evening and week. Thanks very much to newsreader Darren Timpson. Up next is Shaq Clare, Chris Kinley with Greatest Hits after that. Maurice Powell will be here from 9 with A Little Light Music before Rhiann Evans takes over with After Hours. No update tomorrow as it's a bank holiday, so enjoy. Unless you work in retail, of course. I'll catch up with you next week. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.